This is Angela Artemis from Powered by Intuition.
Hi.
And I'm so happy to be interviewing you this evening.
Oh, it's an honor.
I wanted to introduce you to our listeners. This is Peter Michaud from petermichaud.com. And he has written a fabulous new book. I was lucky enough to receive an advanced copy of it, and I read it earlier this week. And after reading it, I really wanted to speak with Peter because the book is fascinating. It's about one of my favorite topics, energy, healing, the chakras. And his book is titled Energy Anatomy, A Grounded Guide to Energy Work and Energy Healing. Congratulations, Peter. It's a wonderful book. I loved it, as
Thank
I
you.
Said before.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. And I love the illustrations, which, by the way, Peter is also a fabulous artist. He has created most of the illustrations in the book. They are just wonderful. And you can see them right here below the interview. He has been kind enough to send us some copies. But I really want to get into it and just start asking you some questions, because as I was reading, I realized if I interviewed you and I wrote out this interview, it would be so lengthy. I thought it would just be so much better and really a lot of fun for listeners if we just did it live. So
right. It's perfect. Yeah.
Peter, cool. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and what events in your life led you to doing energy work?
Well, really, I'm a computer geek. I went to school for business, and I was a professional programmer for quite a while. And what I realized was that my sideline of studying spirituality and doing energy work on friends of mine really was my real path in life, and not the analytical math and the programming and everything that I was sort of spinning my wheels doing for a career. And so to answer your question, my history with energy work starts very, very early. My parents tell stories about my alarmingly persistent imaginary friends, my comments that I'd make sometimes about seeing deceased relatives and this sort of thing as I was growing up. And mm-hmm. and the really huge event that opened up the whole world of energy to me was a car accident that I was in when I was 7. And normally when I tell people the whole story, it's very sad and whatever, but I got to tell you that it was hard to go through this car accident, which, by the way, left me with about 20 years of surgery that needed to be done on my face to sort of rebuild me. So it was,
wow.
it was a very severe car accident, but I would not take it back, not at all, because it's really, like I said, it's really set the stage for my path in life. So it's I'd say that was the moment. That I was 7 years old. I was hit by a car, and it sort of blew everything open. And from then on, it was very easy for me to see what people were thinking, more so how they were feeling and why they were feeling that way. And you know, I began having very, very vivid dreams. And so that was really the beginning, and then later on, when I was about 18, was when I learned to literally and physically see the energy that I could feel was there and could work with prior to that.
Wow.
And then later, after that moment, I guess I was 25 when I felt it in my through to my core that this is what I need to be doing full time, teaching about it and doing it. What happened essentially was that the universe sent me on this errand to go meet somebody that I was actually potentially interested in dating, and even though that didn't work out that way, the person that I met that I traveled to go see was someone who really inspired me to do energy work on them, to help them, because on the one hand, they had really depressed and downtrodden energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going through pretty severe struggles in their life. On the other hand, they were intensely beautiful. They were intensely kind. They were really, really honest, and honest in the sense of self-honesty,
mm-hmm.
meaning they seemed to have a really clear view into their own mind about what they thought and why they thought it. So that combination of factors made me think, okay, this is a person that I can spend time with right now and really change their life. And so without planning to and on a lark, I did. I spent about a day and a half with the person and doing energy work, very basic energy work, to be honest, with this person, just some heart hugs and that sort of thing. And what happened was a miracle. I mean, we interacted, we continued interacting over the course of, even up till now. I got an email from her the other day. But over the days and weeks that followed, the time that we spent together, every time I heard from her, it was about how incredibly her life was going, about how her relationships were drastically improving, about how her path was opening up, about how she was relaxing and she was happier, and all, on and on and on. And I thought, you know, I love that. I love it so mm-hmm. much. I love hearing that from her, and I love the way, from a selfish place, I love the way that it made me feel to do that. To give that
yeah.
to her.
Mm-hmm.
It really gave me that high, that butterfly feeling that
right.
you get when you do something that you're really supposed to do, that really vibrates you to your core.
Mm-hmm.
So, and from then on, I've been building up several practices, if you want, not only other sessions, but also books, as the Energy Anatomy one, and the I'm working on another book right now that I was working on earlier, and I also do online photo readings, which is essentially you give me a headshot and I will give you a reading of your energy and tell you what I think you need to hear about it.
Wow.
So I've been
interesting.
I've been a busy boy.
You sure have. Well, I was going to explain to us exactly, you know, energy work can mean many things to many people, and I think that it can be a confusing term. Tell us exactly what you mean when you say you're doing energy work. What is it?
Energy work, in order to understand what energy work is, first you have to at least, if not throw out, then at least add on to the current scientific understanding of what the physical world is like. And what that means is that instead of just having a physical body, you have to understand that we also have an energetic body. And what the energetic body is, it's this field of energy similar to like electromagnetic energy that actually arranges your physical body, just like this is the analogy I use in my book, just like a magnet would arrange iron filings around it according to its magnetic field, our energy body arranges our physical body according to its sort of magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk about energy work, what I mean is manipulating and healing the energy body and therefore affecting the physical body and also your mental state.
That's a great explanation. I think that's probably one of the best ones I've heard, and I've heard a lot of them.
Good.
I think that's great.
Good.
I love the image of the metal filings or the iron filings too.
Right.
That's great.
I think it's a powerful metaphor, yeah.
It is. It is. And when you say, when I was reading your book, you were talking about the fact that you began as an interested skeptic
right.
when you first began this journey of learning about energy healing. What do you mean by interested skeptic? You know, people say they're skeptics, but, you know, what did you mean by saying you were an interested skeptic?
Well, skepticism, I think, is a fundamentally healthy state of mind, and that's just the state of mind that you are willing to question yourself and the world that you're presented with, and you don't automatically believe everything that you hear. And I think it's important on lots of different levels, but especially when it comes to energy work and you know, extrasensory modalities and all this stuff. It's really important to be skeptical about it because there's so much potential for abuse. And so I think that any given person who maybe hasn't experienced energy work themselves should not believe it wholeheartedly, should wait to experience it for themselves so they can say, oh, you know, there really is something going on here. And I think that the difference between just being skeptical and being an interested skeptic is that an interested skeptic believes in the magic of the world, but they want to understand how it works and why it works. And they want to know for sure that it works. Mm-hmm. Whereas a skeptic just puts on their blinkers and tries to avoid anything that challenges their model of the world, mm-hmm. which is very limiting. But being an interested skeptic allows you to expand your model of the world, but in a healthy and intelligent way.
Right, you're not gullible and exactly. Willing to believe anything just exactly. Because you want to. Yeah. Oh, okay, I understand. I like that. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And now you also said in the book you were always able to see energy and the chakras. I find this interesting because I can relate to it, and I really would like you to explain that to the listeners. Were you just saw it when you were a child, and did you know what it was, or was it something developed after the car accident and then later you taught yourself? How did this come to be that you now see energy?
I have sort of a long history with this. When I was a child, a young child, before I was 7, I could see sort of, you know how when you look at a very hot road and you can see the mm-hmm. you can see the radiation off mm-hmm. the road of that heat, it was sort of like that when I was young. So I could mm-hmm. see that there was something like some sort of shimmering thing there, and mm-hmm. of course I didn't know what it was, and nobody was talking about it, mm-hmm. So I didn't really understand it or find it particularly interesting, to be honest, because it was just part of what I saw every day, and I thought everyone saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm. So there was that phase where I saw this sort of shimmering, and then I went through a fairly long phase of a few years where I really didn't see much of anything. I could feel it. Let me back up. I stopped being able to see energy so much, but I started to develop a more analytical capacity for knowing what people were thinking. So I could look at somebody, especially if I saw their eyes, and I could just tell what they were thinking, and I could sort of explain it back to them. And I think what that was, you know, looking back in retrospect and knowing what I know now about energy, third eye chakra has two modes, and one of them is intellectual and analytical, and the other one is intuitive. And, you know, the third eye chakra gets all the press for being the psychic chakra, the intuitive chakra, but it's also the chakra that allows you to develop your intellect and your capacity for reasoning. And mm-hmm. I think during that time period, I was leaning more on that analytical side than on the intuitive side, whereas as a child, I was leaning more on the intuitive side.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'd like to think that I'm more balanced, but in any case, when I passed through that phase of being more analytical and just being able to sort of tell what people were thinking, like the normal stereotype of a psychic, I met my ex-wife, who wasn't my ex-wife at the time. I met her, and she told me that she could see energy also. And I said, you know, I could as a child, but I've kind of lost it. I can't do it anymore. And she showed me how. And I could probably explain it. It would take a few minutes, but essentially it's just soft focusing your eyes on a certain part of your fingers or any part of your skin, really, until you can finally see something. And the way that I verify that this is actually happening for people that I teach is that I don't tell people what it should look like. I mm-hmm. let them tell me what it looks like. And then after that, if they see it, then they know for sure that they've seen it, because they know that I haven't, you know, planted anything in their mind. I told them something was there, but then they had to explain what it specifically looks like. And that's really powerful from that skeptical place, because mm-hmm. now you know that I'm not just making stuff up. You've seen something, and you've told me what it looks like.
And right, you didn't give them the suggestion.
Exactly, and that's exactly how my ex-wife did it for me. So I knew that was an effective tool. So after that, it was all just very expansive from there, because now not only did I have the intellectual capacity, but I also had the literal physical ability to see again from an intuitive place, and I had the drive and understanding to willfully expand that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been growing it ever since then.
Wow. So if you look at someone and you want to see their energy, that's what you do? You go into a soft focus and then you start to see their chakras and how the energy is playing around these certain energy centers in the body?
Yeah, I don't actually have to soft focus anymore. That's kind of a technique that you use to sort of to get it. And then mm-hmm. Once you do get it, it sort of goes into your muscle memory, so that mm-hmm. it's very easy to just look. And the answer is I don't have to soft focus, but I do have to bring my energy out of my head, out of my intellectual capacity, and more down into my body, so that I'm available to the experience, so that I can feel it. Instead of thinking about it and analyzing it so much, because that disconnects you from the actual sensory experience.
Yeah, it's a different filter, right? I understand. Oh, that's really fascinating. And what about listeners who might want to experience an energy healing? What symptoms would they possibly be having that would tell them, I should call an energy healer. Maybe I need an energy cleanse. What would they be feeling?
I explain a lot about this in my book, about how the energy body interacts with the mental body and the physical body. And normally when people look for energy work, they are dealing with energy problems that are manifesting in their mental body instead of their physical body, or manifesting primarily in their mental body. So if you find yourself confused, depressed, lonely, and any number of symptoms that are primarily mental, then you're a good candidate for energy work. The issue with physical ailments, and the reason it's harder to cure physical ailments with energy work, is that to summarize as briefly as I can, your physical body is a projection of your mental body. So whatever false beliefs or blocks you've developed in your mind have eventually, they've manifested in your physical body. And so your physical body can't really heal until your mental body heals. And it takes a pretty special person to be able to heal all that at once in one fell swoop. Normally it's a process, and so it's a process of healing your mind first, clearing the blocks out of your energy body and therefore out of your mental body, so that your body, your physical body, can fall back into place. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. It definitely does. I think that it's obviously it's yeah, you need to heal those blocks. Otherwise, your body's going to keep conforming to your beliefs, whatever that is.
Exactly. And let me say also, to clarify, most people think that what their experience of their life and what's happening in their life is separate from them. And
yeah,
that's not true. So when I say if you're having a mental problem, I mm-hmm. might mean depression, but I also might mean that your career isn't going the way you want or something like that. That's also a mental projection that can be healed through energy work.
Mm-hmm.
So just bear that in mind. If you're thinking about getting energy work done, then those are the types of problems that can be solved. If you're not experiencing what you want to be experiencing, either internally or externally, that is a mental problem that energy work can very quickly heal.
Mm-hmm. It sounds to me, I'm relating it to being attuned. Everything has to be attuned to the right note. Otherwise, you have discordance and you have these projections that are outwardly projecting what your beliefs are, which aren't on track with maybe what you're supposed to be doing, what your path is in life, what
right.
your true mission is, and it creates all this discord.
Right. Exactly. And you know, neuroscience tells us that we are not one individual in our brain. We're actually a collection of hundreds of individuals all sort of conversing in our head all at once. And so, you know, you might wonder to yourself as I'm talking why your career isn't going as well as you want when clearly you want to be a billionaire. Well, the answer is that one small weak part of you wants to be a billionaire, but there's a huge undercurrent, a huge subconscious undercurrent that is literally creating the situation that you find yourself in. So you say you want to be a billionaire, but somewhere deep inside, more than you want to be a billionaire, you want to be struggling in your career.
Mm.
And that's something that's really hard for people to understand a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true when you really don't take the time to really examine your beliefs, and you just hear what you say, but you don't go beneath the surface. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are probably creating this this life that isn't exactly what you want.
Exactly.
But, Pete, are there any quick methods that listeners can use to straighten out their own energy, a few little tips that you have for them?
Absolutely.
They can do at home?
Absolutely. Something simple that you can do right now as you listen to this is breathe. Most people don't breathe like they should. The way you should breathe is deeply. And if you're trying to relax, you should be breathing slowly and deeply. If you're trying to excite yourself or bring yourself to a higher state, you should be breathing quickly and deeply. But most people just sort of take these unconscious, shallow breaths, and it really does a disservice to your energy, because when you breathe in deeply, whether it's slowly or quickly, you're actually circulating the energy in your energy body around. And that is very helpful the analogy that I like to use is energy is like a body of water, and if it sits stagnant too long, then you start getting it starts getting fetid. It starts having mosquitoes growing in it, and
right.
it's muddy and yucky. But if the water is flowing, especially if it can go into like a river and then into the ocean and then get filtered, then it stays clear and clean, and you can drink it. So anyone who likes camping or backpacking knows that you never drink out of a standing pool of water. You always look for a stream.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same idea. You breathe to keep your energy flowing. Other bigger changes that you can make other than breathing, eating the right things is huge. Everything that you eat is made of energy, and if it's got bad energy, then that bad energy is going to become part of your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, taking care of your body, honoring your body that way is huge. Stretching, exercise, all the things that would keep you healthy are things that would be tremendously helpful for your energy body, and that's not a coincidence.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Thank you. And now, on your journey so far, you know, how long you've been practicing? What I forgot, which 8 years, 9 years? I forgot what you said, or maybe I didn't even ask you. I'm sorry. I should have asked you.
I've been practicing all my life.
All your life. Okay, yeah. So that's several decades. We know that.
Yeah.
And at this point, when you look back, if there's any aspiring energy healers who are listening, Can you identify any mistakes that you made so far that if you had it to do all over again, you would now do differently? Maybe give a word of caution, things that might help the aspiring energy healer?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that is easy to get caught up in, and what I kind of got caught up in early on, was the stereotypical notion of a psychic. And I call it a party trick psychic. And what that means is that if a good psychic were at a party and said, "Hey, I'm psychic," and someone said, "Okay, prove it. What am I thinking right now?" And then he was able to say what the person was thinking, that is the stereotypical psychic ability, which is to read your thoughts analytically. And the problem is twofold. The first problem is that that's not really how it works. And focusing on that is really an ego pursuit. It's not a pursuit of your higher self. It's just a desire to be able to do that, to impress people. And focusing on that aspect of it can be really detrimental to the overall growth. And the other issue is that is a very analytical thing, whereas being truly psychic is a very intuitive thing, which takes place throughout your body and not just in your third eye and knowing what people are thinking, but actually understanding from an emotional level what they're feeling and why they're feeling that way, and being able to feel their emotional history. And none of that sensory information is going to be available to you if you focus on the analytical party trick psychic aspect. The other thing is that if you attempt to open up that facility in yourself too soon, then you can become very, very disoriented. And it's quite upsetting, actually, to see somebody who is very, very open to psychic input, but also not grounded enough to separate the external stimulus from their own thoughts and feelings. And what happens is a person will be walking through the grocery store feeling fine, and they'll walk by somebody in a bad mood, and all of a sudden they'll be in a mental hell because they feel like they're in a bad mood and they don't know why, and mm-hmm. they don't know how to handle it, because it's this onslaught of emotional stimulus that didn't come from within them, but they can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd say to aspiring psychics and healers is that they need to develop their entire energy system, not just the sexy aspect of it.
Right. You need to be in control of your gift.
Exactly.
Not let it control you.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's so I love what you had to say. I can relate to all of it. Although I am not an energy healer, I certainly do work with energy.
Right.
What are you working on now? You said you're working on another book?
I am working on a book. It's a little embarrassing. I'm not sure how it's going to go, but I'm working on a book about sexual energy work.
Oh.
And I think that creative energy that humans have is one of our more powerful facilities, and most people don't know how to use it. They're frustrated by it. They can't handle it a lot of the time, and they waste it a lot of the time. So I thought, you know, it might be an idea to write a book to teach people how to teach people what it is and how to use it properly. Mm-hmm. So that's my book project right now. I'm also working on a school, essentially. I'd like to start scaling up my teaching so that people can learn how to do what I do. And eventually I would like it to be an actual brick and mortar school here in Austin.
Wow.
I'm going to begin by doing online courses and see how that goes, and see if I can come up with something that's valuable for people that's just via video and that sort of thing. And honestly, I'm a little skeptical that it'll work, but if it does work, then it'll be a great way to really spread the message.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Sounds wonderful. Any parting words you want to say to the listeners?
Like I said, if you've never experienced energy work, I want you to not believe me. I want you to not believe that it's real. I want you to not believe that it's true. I want you to believe that I'm sincere because I am. But I want you to think that maybe I'm mistaken. And I want you to go seek out the experience for yourself. I want you to find somebody who is an energy healer who comes recommended, and I want you to try it, and I want you to see it. Because when you experience in your body for the first time what energy healing is all about, you will no longer have any nagging doubts at all. You'll know for sure. And I've seen this happen over and over again from people who are interested skeptics saying, you know, energy work, I've heard of it, I get the idea of it, but I've never experienced it, so I'm not sure about it. And I watch them transform, and I look at the look on their face when they see it and they feel it for the first time, and they say, wow, this is intense and this is crazy, because I didn't expect this to work, but it did work.
Mm-hmm.
It did work, and I believe it. And I want people to that's how I want people to experience it. I don't want them to sit around wondering whether it's real. I want them to go find out that it's real.
Do you do distant healings aside from the photo healing, or should they find a healer where they can visit them physically at their office?
I think they should find a healer. I believe that distance healing is possible, but I do not know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know how to do it, but I think that it's powerful to do things face-to-face just from a social perspective as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I would recommend doing it initially. And I find that healing is all the more powerful when there's actual physical contact. So that's
Got
how
it.
I'd recommend.
Where can readers find you, and where can listeners find you and buy your book?
They can find me at my website, petermichaud.com, which is Peter, MICHAUD.com. And right on there is my book, a download link for my book. And in addition to that, you can get it on Kindle. And I am going to release it in paperback, but it's not in paperback yet. But you should be able to get that on Amazon sometime in the next couple weeks. But like
Great.
I said, you can get the PDF on my website. You can get the Kindle on Amazon right now. And in a few weeks, you should be able to get the paperback version as well on Amazon.
Great. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you, Peter.
Angela,
thank you for explaining so much in such great detail. I found it fascinating. And I really appreciate your sharing this time with us.
I just really hope it helped, and I appreciate it. I appreciate your time, and I feel honored to have been interviewed. So, I really hope it helps a lot of people.
I think it will, and I'm sure you and I will speak again.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.